music, and the word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to all listeners. This is Eben. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And it's always a pleasure to come your way. And we've been on this series of thing for, you know, three weeks now. And this evening we'll be continuing. Pastor Roger will be joining by phone. And I believe people are being blessed by this series. But first, we'll be looking at the news. A lot happening, you know. Virtually all the news we are talking about this evening is more of a war edition because the things happening in the world. Ukraine is there, but largely the Middle East, the Russia, Ukraine war, they are also doing their things there. But now we are looking at the Israel, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthi rebels, Iraq, Syria. I mean, it's really getting busy in the Middle East with Israel. And we'll be looking into some of the news this evening. And I believe we are living in interesting times indeed. Well, let's start with this one. Russia warns the United States of risks of war, World War III. And you know, the issue of World War III talks has been dominating in recent weeks. And Russia is talking about it. The U.S. is talking about it. NATO is talking about it. You know, the issue is that, you know, wars and rumors of wars are part of the things we were warned about in these times. So we shouldn't be surprised when we hear them happening around us. So we have, after Ukraine's attack on Kursk, Russia has warned the Western world that should World War III begin, they would not be confined to European borders. Russia said the West was playing with fire by considering allowing Ukraine to strike deep into Russia with Western missiles, and cautioned the United States on Tuesday that World War III would not be confined to Europe. Ukraine attacked Russia's Western Kursk region on August 6th. And has carved out a slice of territory in the biggest foreign attack on Russia since World War II. President Vladimir Putin said there would be a worthy response from Russia to the attack. Interesting. Then France's President Macron says sales of arms used in Gaza should be halted. And goes on to say that, I believe that today the priority is to return to a political solution and to stop delivering weapons to carry out the fighting in Gaza, Macron said. So shipments of arms used in the conflict in Gaza should be stopped as part of the broader effort to find a political solution, French President Emmanuel Macron said on Saturday. France is not a major weapons provider for Israel, shipping military equipment worth 30 million euros last year, according to the Defense Ministry's annual arms exports reports. So, well, you know, he's also saying it. So, you know, now people are beginning to, I think we are getting to the tipping point where the anger against Israel is going to accelerate, because the way the wars are going now, the patience of the Western allies and support and the rest of the world is really, really waning very fast against Israel. Okay, then we have Iran sends missiles into Israel, and there was a huge avalanche of about, they said about 200 missiles between 180 and 200 missiles. So Iran's ballistic missile attack on Israel this week, the second of such an attack, has the direct attack on Israel. This is the second. The first was in, I think, April, and there was a large scope, but then the impact, well, they say is a bit limited, according to analysts. Iran gave little warning before launching at Israel at least 180 fast-moving ballistic missiles. A Washington Post analysis shows that at least two dozen made it through Israeli defenses on Tuesday, far more than the preceding attack on in April, some causing damage at or near Israeli military and intelligence sites. But so far, reports of critical damage on the ground have been limited. And the videos were interesting. I mean, you see the missiles just coming, and then the Iron Dome and the Arrow, whatever, their defense systems also getting in to respond to stop some, but some still pass through. And that's what I was just reading about. Then this headline says, no guarantees. Israel yet to assure US it would not target Iranian nuclear facilities, according to an official. So Israel has not yet pledged to the Biden administration that it would not target Iranian nuclear facilities in response to Tuesday's ballistic missile attack, a US State Department official told CNN on Friday. This official told CNN that it was difficult to assess when Israel will retaliate, but estimated that a counterstrike would likely occur before or after 7th October, the anniversary of the Hamas cross-border massacres in southern Israel, rather than on the day itself. Further, regarding whether Israel has confirmed to the U.S. that Iran's nuclear sites are viable targets, the official told CNN that the Biden administration hopes to see some wisdom as well as strength, but as you guys know, no guarantees. Interesting, but you know that one. So the next item, this is former President Trump. You know, he has an issue with Iran now because Iranian, last week or 2 weeks or so ago, the U.S. intelligence gave a report that Iranian government has sent assassins. They are trying to kill Trump, the U.S. So, I mean, he's really furious at the Iranian government now. So he says this, it is message to Israel that hit the nuclear first and worry about the rest later. Trump urges Israel to strike Iran. So Trump's comments came in response to U.S. President Joe Biden's earlier statement cautioning Israel against striking Iranian nuclear facilities. And it goes on to say that, I think Biden got it wrong. Isn't that what you are supposed to hit? Trump asked. The answer should have been to hit the nuclear first and worry about the rest later, the former president said earlier when asked if he supported an Israeli strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. Joe Biden, while speaking to reporters, said no. Biden said that his administration was in contact with the Israelis regarding their response and that he would soon speak to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And this is very, the issue is quite volatile because the U.S. has sent about 10,000 troops to the zone, the Middle East zone, and clearly, you know, tension is rising very fast. I mean, today I was monitoring various news networks. Countries are recalling their citizens, but that's where you see poor countries and rich countries. You know, some countries are sending their soldiers to go and retrieve or, you know, pull out their citizens from Lebanon. Then I saw our own Ghana's report. Ghanaians in Lebanon should leave. You know, just be a dream. Interesting world, though. So, whilst countries are sending their planes to go and bring their citizens home, we can just send a message and then, yeah, save yourself. But then, Hezbollah this week, Israel had massive attack on Hezbollah, killed the leader, and then the presumed new leader, according to reports, he's also been killed last night. So this, the tension is really something else. And I think he's called Hashim Safidi. Hashim Safidin, presumed killed in Israeli strike in Beirut. Chances that Hashim Safidin, the presumed successor of former Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah, was killed along with those with him in an Israeli strike in southern Beirut on Friday are increasing, an unnamed official told Sky News Arabia. A Lebanese security source told Sky News Arabia that the chances of anyone surviving the targeted strike were almost zero. The Saudi news organization Al Hadath had previously reported that Safadin was dead on Saturday morning. So you can see that this fight is going to be more explosive than anticipated. Then we have Israeli special forces target Iranian missile facility in Syria and destroy key equipment. So Israeli ground troops targeted an Iranian missile production facility in Syria during a strike this week attributed to Israel, according to Middle East expert Eva Kulurotis, who specializes in jihadist groups and cited security source, wrote on X that special Israeli forces entered the facility, removed equipment, and then destroyed the site on Sunday evening. Reports indicated that Israel had carried out a wide-scale attack in the region, which included strikes on the scientific research center believed by Western sources to be responsible for developing non-conventional weapons. According to Colorealtis, the operation began with airstrikes on several routes leading to the facility, located approximately 6 kilometers west of Masyaf. A Syrian military headquarters was also targeted. Following the airstrikes, Israeli helicopters carrying special units approached the facility, supported by combat helicopters and drones, which were deployed to prevent reinforcements from reaching the area. So you can see Israel is fighting all fronts. You know, they are having operations in Syria, having operations in Lebanon. They also attacked Yemen because, you know, they are getting attacks from all these places. So they also are retaliating at all those places. Then Israeli Air Force strikes Hezbollah command centers across Beirut. And, you know, I watched one report, you know, the Hezbollah, what they've done, similar to what Hamas was doing, they have their command centers in residential areas, so apartment flats, you know, maybe a six-story flat, then maybe the fourth story is where their office will be. So they embed themselves in communities, residential areas, in schools and all that. And today there was one mosque that Israel attacked, and apparently that's where it's also a command center. See, so they intentionally place themselves in places where it becomes difficult to, you know, assume that that's a place. But Israel has been on the job for some time now, and they are destroying and targeting all these places. All right, so we have the Hutus, that's the Houthis, or the Houthis rebels there, those in Yemen, the proxy for Iranian government. They say that the new hypersonic ballistic missile launched at Israel, and they launched it, and the Iranian proxy group claimed that Israel should anticipate more attacks in the weeks leading up to the 7th October massacre anniversary. So now the missiles are coming from all over. And then Iraq is also sending there. So Iraqi drone kills 2 IDF soldiers and wounds several others. And the report has that up to 21 soldiers were slightly wounded in the drone attack. Then this headline says recent IDF casualties show, the IDF is Israeli Defense Forces, the recent IDF casualties show deadly drone threat from Iraq and Yemen is increasing, according to one security report. So that's how the area is going. Now go to Europe, where we have Germany arrest teenager suspected of planning terror attack on Jews during school trip to Holland. So the teenager, who reportedly shared pro-ISIS material on TikTok, was allegedly being groomed online to carry out attacks on Jewish community centers in Europe. Then in Denmark, we have Danish police investigate two blasts near Israeli embassy in Copenhagen. There were no injuries reported. Then to Holland, you have Dutch police refuse to guard Jewish sites over moral dilemmas, according to officers. This is quite interesting. You know, officers in Dutch police force have been refusing to protect Jewish targets. Two officers told report that earlier this week, Marcel De Weerd and Michael Thibum, representing the Jewish police network, expressed concerns over changes they were seeing in the force. They are colleagues who no longer want to protect Jewish targets or events. They talk about moral dilemmas, and I see a tendency emerging to give into that. That would truly mark the beginning of the end. I'm concerned about that, according to T-Boom. You know, the hatred for Jews is really increasing across the world, and it's been accelerated by the October 7th Hamas attack, because we've seen that after that attack, that's even pushed the hatred, anti-Semitism, to another level. U.S. universities where, you know, lots of closures and attacks and, you know, strikes, protests, and all. Go to London, street protests on some Saturdays, anti-Israel or pro-Hamas protests in various cities in the world. So the hatred is increasing. But, well, as believers, we shouldn't be surprised, because Matthew 24, let me read that one, where it says, "You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake." You know, the hatred is part of the, you know, technically, well, I'm coming, let's look for it. Okay. So the hatred is such that it's not just going to be one place or one location, but then, you know, so 24:9, Matthew 24:9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." All nations. So the hatred for Christians and Jews is going to be worldwide. And you see, we are seeing glimpses of this in the last few years, but it's accelerating in various ways, you know, in recent times. So you see more anti-God, anti-Christian sentiments being expressed in various ways. But for the Jews, you know, I said it some time back, and let me repeat it this way. They hate the Jews. People hate them across the world. You know, the hatred for the Jews is strong. But eventually, that hatred for the Jews will be extended to the Christians, because you know, we have a commonality. We all believe in, you know, we believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus, but the same God is what both of us believe in. So, you know, they are using the Torah, the Old Testament, the laws, and all that, the first five books of Moses, and all. So there is a common point when it comes to Christians and the Jews, except for the disagreement on the Messiah aspect of, like, Jesus has come already and they don't believe Jesus has come and all that. So, but the hatred is, we all believe in God, and that is that God that both the Jews and the Christians believe in, is that God that the world is hating, and the world hates, and is going to even hate them more. So as the anti-God sentiments increase, then that means the agenda of being offended by the God of Israel, the God of the Christians, then will be lumped into one category. So they hate the Jews, they will hate the Jews, and they will hate the Christians. And largely, it will be so, because it's Christians who are lying. Christians are lying with the support of Israel. No, so it's like, well, we are the same. They see us as one bunch. And as things accelerate, the hatred increases, the world becomes more and ungodly, and all these things are to be expected. And these are the times we live in. So as believers, well, we just have to encourage ourselves when we hear these things. I'll be back after this song by Chris Tomlin, Holy Forever.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Holy, holy.
beautiful one by Chris Tomlin. You know, this is one beautiful hit, and Holy Forever. Well, welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. You know, there's an issue which the whole nation is talking about it, so we can't be silent on this as well, because it borders on our livelihood. Everybody, I mean, whether you like it or not, we are all we are at risk, you know, this issue of the galamsey thing. And today I was reading this verse and I realized indeed we are in the end time, because, you know, if you read 2 Timothy 3, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, on and on and on. The issue we are facing as a nation clearly is that of people loving themselves. I mean, they don't care about the water you drink. They don't care about the food being poisoned. They don't care about the farmland being destroyed. I mean, people love themselves. And you look at it and it's very sad. Very sad. And I believe I saw one news, the Catholic Church officially is coming out. They're also going to the protest in the coming next week or so. And I believe it's time the church really talks a bit about more. I mean, makes more noise about it. Because, you see, this evening I was having a chat with a friend and he said, so how many people now drink from the normal tap as we used to when we were kids playing? You go and play ball, you get home in the afternoon, you are tired, open the tap, your hand, there's drink. Now, to do so now is a danger and it's a risk. To drink directly. And you see, but the question is, how many people can afford buying water, sachet, bottle, whatever it is? You know, at the end of the day, human life is very important. And I believe as a country, we should. I mean, money is not everything. And we should all talk about it. Churches, pastors should talk about it. Because we just can't pretend as if this doesn't concern us. It concerns all of us. It concerns all of us. I mean, but, you know, people love themselves more than others. And that's exactly what we are seeing. If there's one clear example of this verse, that's exactly what we are seeing. People love themselves above, I mean, all others. They don't care about you. They don't. It's all about the money they are making from their gold. So you can die. They don't care about it. They don't care. But I believe the more we talk about it, as more people talk about it, yes, it should make an impact. We just hope so, anyway. All right, so if you've been listening to this station, this program, for the last 3 weeks, I've been talking to Pastor Roger. We've been discussing parenting. We started with Joseph for 2 weeks last week. We went into Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very powerful chapter. Section of that chapter really addresses the issue of how to bring up our children in the fear in the word of God and all that. So we are continuing this evening. Pastor Roger will be joining anytime soon by phone. He's in Accra, and I believe we'll be continuing this evening as well. So he'll join soon by phone. And whilst I wait for him, you know, last week we were in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a very loaded chapter, very powerful chapter indeed, where, you know, it talks about the, you know, having the word of God, talking about it, working with our children. Well, you can make it this way. So for those who are driving with their children, are in the car with their children, all the word of God, you know, it should be part of us. And I believe If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 well, as we progress in this series, we get to a part where it's one of the parts that fascinates me as to a generation arising that didn't know the works of God. And this was exactly the warning God was giving them in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And they failed in this regard. And it's one of the unfortunate things, because it's a principle. If you don't do it, you don't fulfill your part of it's a spiritual principle. What you sow is what you reap. So if you don't sow the word of God, you don't teach them the word of God, you don't teach them about God, we shouldn't expect that when they grow, they are going to know God the way we want them to know God. So it's a very clear-cut warning that we shouldn't take things for granted and just assume that, oh, they would be better Christians when they grow. I mean, but, you know, this generation is a very complicated generation indeed. I mean, I don't believe there's any generation that is exposed to the challenges that we are in, that we are seeing, the confrontations, the social aspect of it, the environment, everything. I mean, confronting this generation is none that can be compared to previous generations. Hello, Pastor Roger.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening. Yeah, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you too.
Yeah, so yes, I give a summary of the Deuteronomy 6 and yeah, where we started last week, and I believe it's one aspect of the scriptures that you can't do modern parenting without Deuteronomy chapter 6 being a foundation for the parents.
Yeah, and just as you said, it's true, because in everything there is a template, and God has everything covered. The template is the scripture for us, and therefore if we can go according to what scripture says and try to understand it, we build a better society.
Yeah.
This evening I was looking at the same Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 7, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And I was looking at the word "teach them diligently." So diligently means a careful way, using a lot of effort. A lot of effort. So, what we'll be looking at, as we have always been looking at the Cambridge Dictionary meaning for parenting, the raising of children, and all the responsibilities and activities that are involved, diligently has to do with activities, a lot of effort. Because when we go to, when we look at the children's curriculum, they have activity-based learning, where the teacher has a part to play, so the child has a part to play.
Yeah.
And so, the Bible is giving us at this point that if we can teach our children diligently, then it will be an activity-based learning. It is not that watch, let me do it. No, it is as I do it, you do it. That is activity-based learning, where the child may ask questions, the child may say, "Oh, I don't agree," and then you look at it. And how does it start? It starts with that you must first have known before you can teach. So it must first be in your heart to teach. So the parent must first know and commit it to heart, then can he teach. So activity-based learning is a type of learning where you, who is taking the lead, knows what you are about. You know what you are about.
Yeah.
And so last week we were looking at sitting down with our children, and today we're moving on to walking with them. Why are we supposed to do all this as parents? We must remember that the first duty toward the child belongs to the parent.
Yeah, so let me just cut you, sorry. We are maybe a first timer listening to this series. We are at Deuteronomy chapter 6 from we are treating from verse 6. So we are at verse 7 now. Yeah, so you can continue. Yeah.
Sorry, I did not look at the first time listening to us.
Oh, no.
Very sorry.
Yeah, okay.
So we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sitteth in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way. So last week we looked at when thou sitteth in the house, and today we are looking at when thou walkest by the way. We may continue as we have time.
Yeah.
But I was saying that the first duty towards the child belongs to the parent. It does not belong to the creche. It does not belong to the church.
Yeah.
The first duty towards the child belongs to the parent. And therefore, if the parent shares his responsibility, then he's already entered into the red zone. So we are looking at you and me as a parent, our duty to the child. And Bible is saying that we should talk when we walk in their way. Talk to them when you walk by the way. What does it imply? It implies that we must take a walk with our children.
Yeah.
It implies that we must take a walk. A walk with our children. Or stroll with them. So once in a week or once in a while, at least you walk with your children. If we come to our modern time, let's take the Bible from ancient and bring it to modern. It can also mean that drive around with your children. But the deeper meaning has to go with walk, stroll with them. And as you walk, relate the things you see to God. When you walk with the children, then can we relate the things we see to God? What are some of the things we may see as we walk with our children? For example, we may see bears. It will surprise you to know that some of today's children do not know bears. We have seen bears on TV and cartoon, but they can't identify what is a bear. Walk with them, and as you see bears, relate a bear to scriptures, or relate a bear because you love God. Know how to relate a bear to God. So I look at this scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. What does it say? Matthew 6, 26. If I walk with my children and I see a bed, Matthew 6, 26 can tell me something about the bed. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?
Yeah.
If what you want with your child and you saw, and you can identify it with scripture, ask yourself, would your child never understand God? We are not saying we will not go through challenges. But in every challenge you go through, you still see God.
Yeah.
So you are walking with them and you see a bed and you can relate it to God. What are some other things that you can see? You will see flowers as you walk with them. When you see flowers, let me just look at one scripture there, Isaiah 40 verse 8. When we see flowers, because these were the common things you would see at that time. And still, at least in your area, you with all the towns and shops and the rest, you still come to see some of these things. He says, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Amen.
If you relate something like this to the child, how would the child now see God? He sees God as everlasting. Because when he sees the flower and you move another week and he sees that flower is gone, the flower faded. The grass will wither.
Mm-hmm.
But the word.
No, Pastor Roger, hold on. Let me read the verse 7. Deuteronomy 6, 7. From the Amplified Version. Very interesting rendition there. You shall teach them diligently, to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truths, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And I like the emphasis on impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truths.
Why does he say impressing God's precepts? You can only impress someone when you understand what you are talking about.
Yeah, making your point.
That was why I first said the parents must first know,
yeah,
and commit it to heart. Then he can teach it. You see, the challenge we are having today is that when we talk about walk by the way, talk to them about God, then you walk by the way. And I said in the modern times, it can be driving around. We drive our children to church, but in what atmosphere?
Mm-hmm.
We drive our children to church, but in what atmosphere?
To school.
It is, if you don't go to church, you won't. If you don't go to church, you won't do this. I won't give you this. So, the child followed you. You would think you have satisfied this scripture. Walk with them. But the child followed you and you did not impress the child.
Yeah, he followed under duress.
Yes! I teach my teens and I ask them, how many of you came to church because of watching? How many of you came because you felt if you don't come, they will ask about you? But when you narrow it down, less than 1% came to church because they want to fellowship with God. Hmm. And that tells you that Deuteronomy 6:7 is a serious thing we are feeling.
Yeah.
Because up to now, I know some children who have come to church from the day they were born, and now they have finished JHS and SHS, and if they are still part of the children who say they have come to church because daddy and mommy will not leave me at home, daddy and mommy says this. Recently my second born asked me, why should we go to church early? Now, when he goes early and the children say they are doing nothing, so why should we go to church early? He thinks we should go to church late. You see? It's a genuine question he has asked. Yeah. And it comes up, these questions are part of walking with them. Mm-hmm. Because in walking with them, they see things and they will ask questions.
Yeah.
Will you tell them, shut up? Or you find a good way of impressing in their hearts that you are going to church early because of A, B, C. Or it is because I want to go early, so follow me and let's go early. So as we walk with them, by the way, it is a relationship-based life. They see things and they say, daddy, hey, see bed. And daddy has to, or daddy or mommy has to now explain that, you know, it is good you have seen the bed, but this is part of the creation of God. So anytime you see a bed, remember, God created the bed. What have you done?
Yeah. You've impressed something in the heart.
In the heart of the child.
You know, let me cut you in briefly. You know, the challenge, or one challenge in this generation, is the break in communication between parents and children. And this issue is very serious, because we've had an interruption in this communication break as a result of one of the biggest interrupters is technology.
It
has caused a major disruption in communication between parents and children. So you have mothers, fathers being on their phones, children being on their tablets, and everybody is fine. I mean, it's like the norm and the standard in some homes. Even in the car, even when they are in the car, some parents have children phone, have bought phones for their children, so they are all playing, having their phones or tablets, and whoever is driving, and the other adult is also holding the phone, checking phone, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. It's something which is very worrying, and it's time Christian parents understand the danger that these technologies are posing to our relationship with our children. It's a major disruptor, because now communication, there are parents who cannot have smooth conversation, uninterrupted conversation with their children for even 30 minutes. And it's a serious issue, psychological issue, because their bond is broken or has been interrupted by technology. There are parents who beyond have you eaten, is everything fine type of thing, it ends there. That whole communication is just question and answer, yes no, yes no, yes no type of thing, and it ends. Everybody goes back to your technology, continue play your game, continue watching your football as a parent or whatever. And this has become a major break in our communication with our children. And I really plead with parents listening to this edition that it's time we assess the harm technology is causing to our families. You see, when you talk about these things, some parents you are being too extreme. But you see, it's time we also see the risk we are exposing ourselves to. What is the use of having children who you don't have a relationship with at a certain level? And you see, they are growing very fast. So if you don't build that communication line, or that communication line gets broken, we'll get to a point when now it's too late to communicate with them, because they will get to a stage, they are in school most of the time and they won't come home. They get to university, at that point they are adults. You see, so I remember, let me just chip in this, then you continue from there. There's this case that happened, one of the school parents platform, and there was this debate about like the calendar, like the school where my child is, one of my children, the house was the masters shared the timetable, the academic calendar for the year, not the vacation calendar and everything. And then one man was arguing, the vacation is too long, and come and see what parents, other parents did to him. It's like, what is the vacation is too long? And when they come home, they'll come and eat, they'll come and waste data at home, they'll do that. And people are saying, hey, are they not your children? Or is the child not your child? But soon, you see, somebody made one insightful statement that this same child that you wish the child will be in school and you think is coming to disturb you when they come home, this same child will soon get to a stage where now you will be wishing that he'll be coming home, and you wish he is home, but he can't be home. So enjoy them whilst they are at home. And this is what I'm telling parents this evening. Let's make sure that we take advantage of the time they are at home with us. Because when they get to secondary school and they are in school most of the time in the year, it's another stage. And there are some stages in life that if we miss it, it's almost gone. So you can continue.
Yeah, thank you. You brought a serious thing, the stages in life. Yes, everyone has to be part of technology, but let's be careful.
Yeah,
I remember we had a dedication for children, and when it was time for this parent to bring the child to be dedicated, the child was holding a phone. And at the time the child was even being taken, the child was still holding the tablet.
That little toddler being dedicated.
Yes.
A big parents in so be. Abba.
And I was just watching. I said, it is like yes, we have to be part of it, but just as you said, let us also remember they are with us for a time.
Yeah,
they are with us for a time. So when we miss that time, last week we talked about sitting down with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I sit down with them and we watch cartoon together, it is sitting down.
Yeah.
But if we should be sincere to ourselves, we realize that with the sitting down, mostly we leave them to sit down whilst we do something else. So we are not sitting down with them. If you are sitting down with your child and you are playing a game together, it is sitting down.
Yeah.
It is sitting down. And therefore, we are not saying it is not good. It is sitting down. We are all playing a game together. And when we play the game together, we will talk, we will chat, we will laugh, we will bond.
Yeah. And these days, how many parents play it? I mean, Ludo and all these things. It's like everything is vanishing in our society per the times we are in. And these are all things that used to bond families together. But these days, it's like there's no time for it again.
Yes. I told my children, I want us to have movie time together. And so I was bringing the movies. And you know the movies I was bringing. It was Jackie Chan. Because I told them, I want us to laugh. And we'll be sitting together and we'll be laughing. For 2 hours, we will all laugh. It is sitting together. We are not saying that everything is Bible.
Yeah.
But what scripture is making us to understand is that you may not be quoting the verses, but you are bonding with them in such a way that everything in you is being passed on to them.
It becomes easier to communicate things subsequently.
Yes, because it is a give and take. So as he asks you a question, he or she brings a question out, and you are able to answer. You have put something in him. You've implanted something in him and are taking something out.
Yeah.
And what you have implanted in, that is what Proverbs will say, so that when he grows, he will not depart from it.
Yeah.
So if nothing has gone in, and in this Deuteronomy we are looking at, it is just giving us ways by which we can put things in into our children. Sit, walk, and maybe today let me add the last one. When thou liest down, let me talk about the lie. The lie down means that.
I think the sits we can still exhaust it a little, but let me just read the message that Justice has sent. It's a very serious one. Hey, Justice Adiason, good morning. It's an ongoing discussion with Pastor Roger about the children. This technology also destroys marriages and relationships because couples engage in this social media much better than having time for themselves and families. You see where this whole thing, and this is a reality. Even couples, it's affecting relationships where devices are now interceptors in communication, disrupting communication, even in marriages. This issue, you know, we have to look at it critically. We have to look at it critically because you see, the fact that something is good, if you don't control it, it will cross from good into something which you didn't anticipate. And that's where we've reached now with the disruptors, as I call them, the social media, the entertainment, and all the things, technology we are talking about. You see, if it's done in moderation, it is safe, it's okay, acceptable. But we are crossing into territories where they are becoming disruptors in family life, in bonding, in parent-child bond relationship, and it's a big, big, big issue. You know, If for those who have not watched this movie, documentary drama, The Social Dilemma. If you've not watched, then you'd want to watch it. You send me hi. I'll send you the link. It's on my Google Drive. You can watch it from my Google Drive. So I can send you the link via WhatsApp. Then you watch it from my drive. You see, it was after I watched that documentary drama that I saw the severity of the impact of social media. Because you see, the harm it is causing in the relationships, you see it so visible in that docudrama. The impact, the relationship between parent and child, siblings. You see, this whole thing is disrupting lives, like communication between human beings. So now people are having enhanced communication between, we are having enhanced communication between humans and devices and technology, more than humans versus humans. So people can effectively be on devices for endless hours and see nothing wrong and not feel time is going. But these same people, be it siblings, parents versus child, child versus parents, couples, cannot spend that same time, be it 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, to communicate. I mean, it's almost impossible in some homes now for people to communicate for 4 hours endlessly. But this same, he said, but these same people can conveniently spend the same time on technology and through a device onto the social system. So clearly we are having a monster in the house that is time we tame that monster. We have to start taming that monster. And I believe this discussion gives some insight into some of the things we are talking about. Sitting with our children is something which we cannot whisk it away. We cannot just ignore it. It's very important we look at it now. You know, Pastor Roger made some points as to the fact that, you know, sitting with the children opens up for questions that will come up. There are children now who want to ask questions. They have questions on their mind, but they don't even have time to spend with their parents for them to even have time to ask the question and all that. But if they have that opportunity, the questions will come. The danger is they are learning all sorts of things from school, from their classmates, from online, whichever way it is. And they are struggling with some things which they don't know who to talk to and how to talk about it and all, because parents are not there to open up for them to talk about it. And I believe this is where this issue should be looked at critically. Let me cite this example, a case where there was a child who I know the boy, and this other girl, they were in the same school. And the girl is the type that, I mean, and the mother, they have a very close bond. Very, very close bond. Everything, they talk about it. So it happened that a group of students together, they were preparing for an exam. So they were all lodged in the same house, like in the girl's house. That's where, and the teachers, I mean, it's a small class, so they were all lodged there. It's a big house, so they were all there. And the boy, one of the boys, was just amazed by the fact that the girl was telling the mother everything. They were chatting about everything. So he became curious as to why and how it should be. Why is the girl so open to the mother about everything? And then I got to know from another teacher, like, who was the one telling me about this issue, that this boy has a challenge because there's no time, the mother is not around to even talk about issues. The mother is very busy. So yes, there's money at home and all, but there's no communication. It's all about there's money on the table type of thing. Take it and do what you want to do, go where you want to go. But that the parents will sit, the father is outside, so money comes. But then you see the mother being here too has no time for the child. So this child is growing up not knowing how to communicate with parents. So when he saw how some other students or other mates are so close with their parents and they chat and share their challenges and how everything is going on in their lives, He was. I mean, surprised that, hey, is that how life is for some people? Like, they share everything with their parents, because he is not experiencing that. And this is an example to let parents know that if we don't open up and allow the children that free hand and that free will to express themselves, we shut them up indirectly, psychologically, and they keep things to themselves, and that becomes very dangerous. And it's not good for their outgrowth physically, psychologically, and spiritually. And I believe as so soon 9 o'clock, wow. So I believe as parents listening to this, we sharpen ourselves as we talk about this. Pastor Roger, thank you for joining us this evening. I believe God will, next week we'll be continuing from there.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. So listeners, we had Pastor Roger joining us by phone, and I'm Eben. This is recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info, and it will be uploaded to the Telegram group. So good night, and God bless you.
You're listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia.